is Karethi Gari.
AKA GK. AKA Karethi.
Okay.
But I prefer Ka Greatness, Ka Awesomeness, Ka Fantastic, son of a pastor, who's one of my heroes.
Yes.
I am a vehement Afrocentric Pan-Africanist.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be an
Afrocentric Pan-Africanist? Mm-hmm. You're someone who wants to focus on how the continent can develop together without necessarily the influence, which is now, that's a bit oxymoronic, but the influence of other cultures, especially Western culture. It annoys the people who are normally around me because they feel I'm a bit too extra. It means I don't even have an English name. I'm a bit offended by you guys, kidogo.
Mm-hmm.
Because like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, you had a guy here who was super buff. And he was saying about something about fat guys.
Okay.
And then you bring a fat guy in the next episode. Is there a problem?
So do you consider yourself fat? Or?
No, no, I'm just asking, you know. I don't know. Do you consider me fat?
Welcome back to another episode of the Nairobian Podcast. Kama kawa, mutual na boys wangu Mwas.
Mimi hapa hivi.
Na leo tuko lucky tuko join na one of the greatest.
Exactly.
Of all time.
Of all time. Exactly. Anajita.
Ka Greatness.
Anajita Ka Greatness.
Ka Greatness. There we go. AKA. AKA GK. AKA Karethi.
Okay.
But I prefer Ka Greatness, Ka Awesomeness, Ka Fantastic. We go with those ones.
So you'll go with Ka Greatness.
Now that you started introducing yourself, so you just finished.
But I've been here before. I'm a regular on the show.
Yeah, open mic. He was with us on open mic.
On open mic.
Episode 25 or something.
With my Arsenal jersey, just making sure Chris Evans knows that. With my Arsenal jacket, telling people Arsenal are going to win the league. But yeah, my name is Karethi Gari. I like podcasting, enjoying life. I'm a bit offended by you guys, kidogo. Because like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, you had a guy here who was super buff. And he was saying about something about fat guys. And then you bring a fat guy in the next episode. Is there a problem? Not the next episode, but the next 2 episodes.
That's your business.
So do you consider yourself fat?
No, no, I'm just asking, you know. I don't know. Do you consider me fat?
No, we are equal opportunity. We bring everyone.
We bring everyone.
We bring buff guys. We bring you. We bring
buff on buff guys.
Women,
buff guy.
Boys, everyone. We are
women, boys. You bring boys. That's not allowed, man.
Why
not?
Just playing. It's okay.
Puny ass.
And another thing, you guys made so much noise about it being called Nairobians. But it seems like you guys are also on your January detox.
Yeah.
You know, Ama this Vodo.
That's water.
That's water.
We're trying to go clean for a while. So just water for now. And then once we're done with the detox, we'll go back to Nairobians.
And then my final question. Now, this one is dedicated to Chris M.
Okay.
Chris M.
Who's Chris M? Me and Moas.
Oh, Chris M. Oh, Moas. Moas. Sorry. This guy, we had agreed.
Yes.
That he's going to stop wearing the shorts, man. Why is he still wearing the shorts?
I've tried. I've tried. He has refused. So me just gave in. I'm like, whatever, man.
So do you had to all those knees, man.
Okay. So Kamakawa, si usema, Nairobi podcast. Si ongea vitu tunadai.
Yes.
Vitu tumesikia. Vitu zime happen. Na vitu tunafeel that.
Na tubamba tu ya.
So, Karethi, apart from you kuongea mingi hapa sana.
Story of shorts.
Story of shorts. How's your week been?
My week has been easy. Right now, I'm enjoying being, I don't know the word is, but someone who's here, there, and everywhere.
Hustle.
Yeah, hustle. At first, people were calling me, people even in the vicinity, say, Karethi, you're a dynasty, or whatever. Now, nimeona hustle. I'm hustling. A different hustle, but I'm hustling. I'm going everywhere.
Why trying to make a buck. Calling you a dynasty?
People think that I come from a... You know, it's the big thing. It's a stereotype for a big guy.
Are you a dynasty or not?
No, I'm not. I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. Yellow-wearing hustler.
Okay.
What would you say would be the difference between a dynasty and a hustler?
I think the whole idea when this thing was being created was this group of individuals who have been at the heart of money. So even if they are broke, they're still dynasty because they have access to more opportunities.
Yes.
But they also hustle. Me, I'm hustling.
No, hustling is relative because there's someone who's hustling to get a huge contract or has a huge contract, so he's hustling to get finances to maybe deliver on a contract or whatever, a tender. Then there's someone who's hustling to put food on the table, like even, it's nothing.
Even the dynasties are hustlers.
Yeah, they're
whatever
all hustlers.
They do, they consider it hustle. Yes.
But
there are levels to these things.
But see, hustle has a tendency of struggle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like you're struggling, you're not at your best.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you're struggling, then you're a hustler.
That's what I'm saying, it's relative because maybe my issue is I have a Toyota, but I want a Mercedes. I'm struggling to get that Mercedes or that Range Rover. But then there's someone else who's struggling to get 50 shillings to get from point A to point B on a matatu.
So are you guys hustlers?
Yeah,
big hustlers. Time hustlers, manze.
So why am I not a hustler then?
See, you're the grandson to...
To?
Who?
Someone who was someone, a hustler.
How do you know?
Because we know you.
Grandson to a collaborator.
I collaborate. What?
It's in the name.
I'm about to put on the camera right now.
It's in the name. But Kish was asking you before you went off how your week has been, if there was any highlights to your week, what did you do or what happened that was magical, so to speak?
Magical. There's not much magic. I went to see just dry rivers. Me, I've just been driving. Everywhere I drive, dry river. People getting mtungis, getting the little... Yeah. Bro, things are bad.
And northeastern.
Hata wakikuyus, they're going to struggle, by the way. If you go up a bit, things are drier than they've ever been. Down at two. So one day you guys should join me for one of those in my matatu.
You have a matatu? you're not a hustler.
In the matatu that I use, it takes 180 shillings.
So things are bad in terms of the drought that's going on in the country currently right now.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
So there's not much to be happy. That's sad to say, but there's not much to be happy about right now. Tunafinywa, all of us are fungaing our belts.
It's true.
And when we're fungaing our belts now, Maji is the issue. Even my apartment never has water.
Even the dynasties have struggles. We are all in this together.
Yeah, together. You're all suffering, my guy.
Hustlers.
Okay. What's wiki yako imekuwa?
Mimi wiki yangu ilikuwa poa sana. Poa sana sana. Because last week, you know where I'm going with this.
He doesn't need to talk about it.
No, I'm just need to say it. My team, the biggest team, the second biggest team in the world, Manchester United, finally.
What's the biggest team in the world?
Real Madrid. Oh, okay. It goes like this. It goes Real Madrid, Manchester United, Barcelona, Liverpool, Arsenal, maybe then the rest. Arsenal may be sixth. So we won a trophy finally. It was a small trophy.
Most insignificant trophy, but they won a trophy.
Yes, of the significant trophies, it's the most insignificant. So we won a trophy at least for the first time in like 6 years. So me and a lot of United fans may go to celebrate. So it's a good thing, it's a good sign. So me can go make poor and enjoy it.
Okay.
Yako imekuwaje kwanza?
Yangu imekuwa freshi barida. Nimekuja kutulia tu.
Freshi barida.
This is for the hustlers.
This is for the hustlers. You know hustlers also behind on pop culture. This is how tu.
Yangu imekuwa fiti. Nothing much to report.
Okay.
Imekuwa tu.
And it's out at least we put another pattern another week. And this guy had not seen him for a very long time.
He's running away from the most important man in his life.
And it's okay, Karithi, it's okay. Thank you for joining us to have this conversation. Yes. So earlier you started by introducing yourself. Can you now like do like a proper introduction if you were to meet somebody in your matatu? They ask you, hey, by the way, who are you, Karithi? Hey. What do you do, Karithi?
Hello, sir. My name is Karithi Gari. What do I do? Right now, I am hustling in between things, but not struggling too much. I am the son of a bishop, son of a pastor, who's one of my heroes.
Yes.
I am a vehement Afrocentric Pan-Africanist in my beliefs, and it annoys the people who are normally around me because they feel I'm a bit too extra. It means I don't even have an English name. You guys and your English names, all of you here have English names, can go away. let them go. Let's call each other by African names.
I think not to cut you off, can you like expound on the Afro thing that you said you are?
Yeah, you know.
What does it mean to be an
Afrocentric Pan-Africanist? Mm-hmm. You're someone who wants to focus on how the continent can develop together without necessarily the influence, which is now, that's a bit oxymoronic, but the influence of other cultures, especially Western culture. Mm. It's accepting that Western culture has brought you a few things. It's brought you guys the podcast mics, but it's not necessarily been beneficial to African people. So how can African people develop? I'm one of the believers that it has to come from an issue of mentality. Mm. It doesn't have to do with money and economics. It's an issue of socialization. Mm-hmm. So I feel we have to go back to our roots, you know, start wearing dreads again, doing things, talking about what makes us inherently ourselves. And I believe in as Africans, the most thing, you believe in African philosophy. I am because we are. The thing that makes an African is the people in his community. Mm. So, yeah, that's what being an Afrocentric Pan-African. You're looking for solutions which are African, made for the African people and for the African experience. Mm. Not the tampered one, but the, like, who
the
are
authentic,
you?
Authentic.
Mm. You? Who are you as an African? Mm. Am I you? Everything you want is Western.
Mm. Okay.
That's an actual question.
I'm Kiru. I'm Kiru. I'm African.
Do you believe in Pan-Africanism?
I'd say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what do you want to know? Yes, I believe in Pan.
Do you believe like the West has been toxic for us as Africans? Like we need to develop. Pan-Africanism is about Africa developing, coming together.
True, but it's upon us to decide, because we have all these different cultures. We still have the Chinese, we still have the West, we still have everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's us to choose if we are still remaining in Pan-Africanism or trying to mimic all these other cultures.
You can't mimic them. We try.
They haven't done anything wrong. They're just living their lives. And it's even us, we try to put our culture on them.
But we don't.
Share whatever we're doing, so that they, if they want, they can take it up. Or,
but do we share that? Honestly,
we do. See, we
don't share our culture with them. They share our culture with us, and we just absorb it. Our hip hop, who are our best rappers? Mm.
But we're also trying to do the Afrobeat thing.
That's fantastic.
USA,
in USA.
So if they in
Niger,
in USA, like we are taking the beat to them.
Okay, so fine.
If they like it, it's okay. If they want to use it, it's okay.
Mm. And so they love it. Yeah, they love it. Right, nice.
It's the same thing. Like, if they want us to live how they want, it's okay. So it's upon us to be choosing. Do we want to really take up this way of life and live ours that we had? Or are we going to stick to whatever we believe in?
No, unlike Kish, I believe in a hybrid system. Not everything from the West is evil, and not everything from Africa is good. There are some things in Africa that,
like, what's bad?
I'll get to that. But all I'm saying is, the Western culture has been beneficial to us. Right now, even the clothes you're wearing is from their culture. We used to wear hides and all that. We don't wear that anymore. The technology you enjoy nowadays predominantly is from the West. So that's not all bad. Very recently, Uganda signed a bill into law, the anti-LGBTQ thing.
Museveni.
Yeah. And America issued threats again against Uganda, saying, you either revoke that bill or there will be severe consequences. And Museveni doubled down. He's like, hey, we are going to leave in our society with their own rules, our own way. If you don't want to give us aid, stay with your aid.
Yeah.
We are rich enough as it is, as a continent, to take care of ourselves. So there's good, there's bad, but then you just take the good, leave the bad if you can, and then amalgamate the two. Have some hybrid that is good enough for everyone.
That's my word of the year, amalgamate.
Yeah, you can't just say everything about the West we don't want. We're just going to be Afrocentric and just look at African solutions to African problem. Yes, but some problems in Africa will need solutions that are outsourced. I don't know.
It's embracing what they've given us in terms of tools.
Yes,
to reinvent
more or
our
less,
society.
More or less. You look at what's out there for all of us, mm-hmm. and you say this can work, mm-hmm. this one we don't want. Pick what works for you, leave the rest.
Yes. Would you guys dump your English names?
I'm not married to my English name. Mm-hmm. I'm not married to it. Mm-hmm. So I can't dump it.
You can dump it. Yes. Which name do you prefer? Your English or your African name?
I prefer all my names because yes. I can't dump it because there's nothing wrong or there's no harm mm-hmm. I'm getting from using my English name.
Your English name.
I'm just okay with it. It's just a name.
But do you believe, let's fast forward. Me, I don't know, but you guys don't yet have kids. You get kids. Are you giving them English names?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't know.
That's the question people have to ask themselves. Why?
I don't have to give them English names, but you know, in our culture, mm-hmm. We name people according to people that have lived or people that have died or people that had influence over your life. Mm. So you're named after somebody. Yes. Or you're named after a duration or a situation that happened. Mm. So if, let's say I was to name my kid, like I'll use my dad's name. Uh-huh. So if my dad had an English name, I'll just name him.
But
using my dad's English name plus the traditional name, so there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not for it, man. Me, I'm like, we need to dump those names, all of us.
Why?
Why should they be there?
No, but why? Mm.
What connects you to those names? Okay, I understand, for example, your name is David. Mm. So when you are being named, if it wasn't for this naming system, it was because of the Bible, wasn't it?
It's a Christian name.
Yeah. It's a Christian name. Mm. Yeah. But if your name is Richard... Mm-hmm.
Colonialism.
Exactly. So those ones we need to learn.
But Christianity also came with colonialism.
True.
So Christianity. If you're saying it's okay for David and
no, I understand it because Christianity has come into the country. Mm-hmm. People have embraced Christianity. Yes. So if they believe in the one true God that comes from Christianity, then it would make sense that they'd want their children to be like the key characters in the Bible. For example, David. David was one of the biggest people because of what he did, slinging Goliath, being one of the best kings in Israel. So they're naming you and they're telling you, hey, bro, you have to pick up your socks, you have to become like David. Mm. But if it's Richard, or if it's Alexander.
The Great.
I'm just saying, those are things that affected Western culture. They didn't affect
African culture. So you're saying that as if all African names are good. We had quote unquote despots. We had some African rulers who are not the best.
Then don't name that person.
No, but they are African names. Uh-huh. So right now, for example, my name is Mwangi, right? Mm-hmm. And if it go back and trace that name Mwangi from where it came from, probably we had a chief called Mwangi who people admired or whatever, because it was Mwangi and Maina
in Kikuyu.
They are Rika, yeah. Mm. They go back and forth. Mm. So just saying because it was elements of colonialism, and that's wrong, there are also elements of senior chief or whatever, that also evil. So just by saying African names are the best, that doesn't cover it.
You don't have to name your kid John Joe.
Not been liked by everyone.
By everyone,
you don't have to name your kid John Joe, but why can't you name, like if you want your son to emulate and become someone, why can't you name Sankara? Why can't you name him Kwame?
You and your African names. For me, like, let's talk about the... You asked if I prefer my English name or my African name. Mm. And I like them both, just like Kish said. Mm. It depends with the context and where I am. Mm. If I'm in a professional setting, I used to go professional setting and school, people used to call me by my English name, which is Chris. Mm-hmm. That's why you call me Chris M. When I was at home or with my friends, they would call me Mwangi. Mm. So both names have a place. Mm-hmm. And you see, in this country, there's a time when our second name was problematic. You know this because we've had wars, we had clashes where it was a problem. Mm-hmm. So it became, when you had an English name, it's better because at some point you don't even know. I come see you, I call you Kevo. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're a Kevo or a Kisi, you're a Maasai, whatever. It's just Kevin. Mm. So it was better at some point because it doesn't show there.
For your tribe.
Your tribe at some point.
So it's good for building national identity that you have.
Kind of
English name, but you can replace those English names with other things
like
other African names. That's what I'm saying. Like a Sankara, what's wrong with calling your kid Sankara?
You have a kid and then call it Sankara.
It's your preference. So, Karedi, before you
even move that, I want a quick challenge. Uh-huh. in America, Kish hates me for using America all the time. Mm-hmm. You've seen black people who miss out on opportunities because of their names.
But I don't live in America.
No, I'm just telling you, like, names are very important. If you call someone Opiyo Omondi, for example, because you're pro-African, pro-Kenyan, whatever, there's some jobs he might miss out on purely because he's called Opiyo Omondi. Mm. But if he's called Kevin, again, I'm going
back Kevin to Kevin. Opiyo.
Not even Opiyo, just Kevin. That might help. I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking trash, but
it might. But it's my opinion that we can make a new norm. You don't see Chinese people coming and calling themselves Brian. They call themselves by their natural names. Why? Because they've made their names worth something. If we make our names worth something, depending on whatever we create, we don't need China to embrace. That's what I'm saying, to reverse the colonialism, remove the English names.
The colonies by Japan. So they have some Japanese elements in their name.
Fair enough.
Everyone in the world has that. Even America, they have elements of Brit. Okay.
Kish, ask your question.
So
ask
this guy will fight.
I just cut you off from you telling us who you are. So you started by saying you're an Afrocentric dude. And
Afrocentric Pan-Africanist. Mm. Then second, I said also I'm the son of a pastor.
Gary.
Who is one of my biggest heroes. Mm. And I'm also someone who has roots to my grandfather, who's probably one of the most important people in my life.
Mm. And in Kenyan history also.
Collaborators. Mm. In my opinion, he's part of Kenyan history.
Not in your opinion, like in truth, he is part of history.
And he played a very significant role. Mm.
This guy's not
Who's your grandfather?
His name was GK.
Yeah, sir. Mm. We won't go deep into that, but he's part of Kenyan history.
Yes. These hustlers, they want to destroy. These hustlers want to destroy all our history. They believe everyone who worked those times was a bad person.
No. We're not saying bad. We're just saying who they were.
Yeah, listen.
We're not fighting you.
It's okay. I'm a hustler. I forgot. I dropped the hustler narrative.
Every one of us would want that history, that heritage. You'd all want that.
Yeah, the history means a lot to me.
Yeah.
It doesn't do much for my pocket, but it means a lot to me internally as to who I want to be, someone I wanted to emulate.
Yeah.
I realize I don't have his competencies, but luckily we can emulate him.
Who, your granddad ways. Or your...
Yeah, my granddad. He was very good at
things.
Administration, which is just... this modern age, that's a lot of work. If I was given that job, probably ChatGPT would be doing all my work.
But you see, that's one thing that I had people saying that, like, you try to compare yourself with that older generation and what they used to do and how hard their lives were or how easy it was. You have to remember that back then, life was different. And the competencies that they needed different from you.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you have to be competent in maybe even foreign languages. Mm-hmm. You have to be good in.
Oui, monsieur.
Okay. the competencies that we have to be, like right now, this is the hardest time to be alive. Mm. It's also the easiest because of all the advantages we have.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. But you comparing yourself and saying you are. No, I don't think that's.
No. It's different. I'm not saying that I'm saying that the skills I possess versus the skills he possesses are different. So, you have to be a person who is very, I believe in self-evaluation.
Okay.
So you evaluate yourself and say, this I am good at, this I'm not good at. If you say, hey, maybe I'm very good at speaking, voiceovers, talking, but I'm not very good at sitting down and administering policy.
Pushing paper
at a high level.
Yes.
I can do it at a very small level. It doesn't mean I'm incompetent. It just means I'm incompetent in those tasks.
Yeah.
So that's what I was saying, that his competencies are a bit different from mine,
but
it doesn't stop me from wanting to emulate some of the things he did. But why are you asking me so much about from? Is there something specific you want to know about?
No, because I'm usually like growing up I've always wanted to ask you growing up as a pastor's kid. Did you have so much pressure, people trying to compare you with what your dad was preaching to how your lifestyle was or how you behaved versus how you're...
Yeah, holding you to a certain standard because of your parents.
I think maybe that's a question you ask my dad. Because honestly, I'm thinking about it. Myself, me, I didn't struggle. Mm-hmm. Being myself, my father was very strict about allowing people to make their own decisions.
Okay.
And so if me, I decided I'm wearing dreadlocks, it's a choice I have decided. And number two, honestly, some of these things that you're hearing about, they are not problems with regards to following a faith-based life.
Mm-hmm.
How do dreadlocks have an issue with being a person? How? Though that's something to do with the Tendereza movement, isn't it? The East African revival and all that. That has nothing to do with Christianity. I can wear dreadlocks and be a Christian.
True. But there's this clip that goes around where you have a pastor.
Ezekiel.
It's called a prophet.
It's prophet.
Prophet or apostle.
Some religious guy trying to lecture
a kid.
Some dude, a youth who was brought to church by the parents. Mm-hmm. I think the parents wanted the
pastor to pray for him.
It's called Pastor Ezekiel.
Yeah.
Pastor Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm.
I think they wanted him to talk to him, just try to, because they were seeing like he's going astray.
Mm-hmm.
So the apostle start lecturing the guy about his hair. Mm-hmm. He had unkept hair, I think dreads, what you call them nowadays.
Had a hard one.
He had unkept hair. So the priest is telling him, the reason you're not getting jobs or people are not taking you serious is because your hair looks like this. So if you're saying that there's no problem or it's nothing to do with religion, with having a dreads, there's this guy who's an apostle, who is called prophet, who's a prophet, telling us that, telling a young guy that the problem is
you. Now, when you guys told me about this, I was livid because I was like, that's backward thinking, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That someone, based on their dress, is the reason they're not, just based on the way they've kept themselves, is the way that they're not getting jobs.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at jobs, the job market now, you'll find people with rastas, you'll find people with unkempt hair.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the video of the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the hair was a problem. It was not clean.
Mm-hmm. It was too rough.
That hair was not clean.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you could see his chapped lips. The guy is, it's more than just.
There's no water. You said there's no water.
There's no water. Mm-hmm. We're going to call it that. His lack of water.
Mm-hmm.
You could also tell that his people I met like in USIU when I was in university.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that it is wrong the way the pastor was doing that. In fact, it's a problem with many, and this is not the opinion of my father in case people start crucifying him.
He hasn't talked to a youth and told him.
No. In fact, the first time I wore dreads, I was in high school.
Mm. Are you allowed?
On holiday.
Mm.
On holiday, I got them kawams.
They were allowed.
They were like this.
Group of school.
No. I went to.
Okay. Finish your story.
Yeah. Let me do defensive.
I went to group of schools, but they didn't allow it. But during holidays, you have that 2 month period. Yeah. So we were like, I had finished my exams, put on dreads. So I put on dreads. My old man, he didn't seem the most excited about them, but he didn't make a comment. He just, I think the only thing he thought it was the girly.
Mm.
Guys having long hair. Mm. After that, it was very easy. And in fact, now, if I was to tell him I'm cutting my hair, he'd ask me why.
Mm.
In fact, I don't think I'm allowed to cut my hair from all of my family.
Mm.
They've decided this is my look. I cut my beard the other day and they threw a hissy fit.
Mm.
So, in my opinion, that is a problem with that age group. It's not just the pastor. That whole age group thinking that it's a well-kempt, shaved head with a fat samosa tie and all those things that's going to get you the job.
Yeah.
Well, now our modern society, our modern ages, we believe in competency.
Mm.
Are you good at delivering?
Mm.
If you deliver, people wear dreads all the time. In fact, news anchors who look superhuman, they're falling out of style.
Mm.
For these other guys with beards, and like the Joe Rogans who just is with his t-shirt. My feeling is that the pastor is behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't understand how societies have moved forward.
Mm-hmm.
All of us, me, you, all of us do not believe, I hope, in the 9-to-5 anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You don't believe in being kept into these brackets. We believe in delivering competencies. You judge me based on the assignments you set out for me.
Mm-hmm.
If I completed those assignments at a high level, why should the way I look affect my employment status?
Okay.
However, with regards to this young man, oh my God, I feel old. I feel he can look more kept.
Yeah.
Have rasters, have dreads. Mm. Keep them kept. Keep them a bit clean. Mm. Don't show, like, I think we showed a video of him going through an interview, and you can see the gunk in the dread. Mm. Things like that, that is showing you that you are a true believer in the Rastafarianism, if you know what I'm saying. Mm. He needed to keep himself a bit better.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my only opinion with regards to it. But the prophet, apostle, disciple, whatever you call him, I believe he was wrong to do what he did, because he is saying, oh, you young people, it feels like that's what he was trying to say. Oh, you young people, this is why you don't get jobs. Look at you. There are opportunities, but look at you, how you keep yourself. I used to get lectured every day for having a devil. But that's not today's society. In fact, that's ending. That's a society, a group of employers who are actually towards the end of their careers.
No, just to counter you on that, I also don't agree with how he went about it. But the sentiment I agree with, because as much as we want to call him old-fashioned, behind the eight ball, like you say, he's right, because the people who are hiring right now, that's their type of thinking. They're the old guys.
People are not hiring right now.
No, but right now, if you look at these big organizations in Kenya, it's the old guys, and they had this prescribed look, because they know you're supposed to wear a suit, you're supposed to have nice short hair.
I can assure you, if that man was thriving in school, secondary and college, and was doing very well, his hair would not
happen. No.
They would have told him, keep it clean. That's what they would have told him, keep it clean.
That's where you're wrong, because not every employer is the new age employer.
But he said IR. IR is international organizations. That's the new age employer.
You're delusional, my guy. You're delusional. Because right now... I believe if you look at these tech companies, those are the ones that don't really care. You can come in shorts, in whatever. As long as you're doing your job, that's okay. But if you go to traditional, quote unquote, traditional companies, they want those 9-to-5. They want you to come in at a certain time, be in the office that entire time, and then look a particular way. So if you want to work in those organizations, you have to dress the way they want you to dress. Now, this young guy, yes, like you said, he didn't look the best. And so the pastor expressing that opinion, he's right to an extent. Him saying you young people don't dress in a particular way, he's right to that extent, because we want the world to accommodate us. I want to go there looking how I want to look, and I don't want you to say anything about it. Now, whether I'm right or wrong, I don't want to hear it, because it's my right, it's new age, we live however I want to live, just look at my competencies. No. Part of being in the job market is following rules, whether you agree with them or not. And one of the rules is you look a particular way.
My opinion.
JK, if you are an employer, you have these two people. One looks the way he wants to look. The other one looks the way...
like he's supposed to look.
Traditional.
Quote, unquote.
Has a traditional look. All these people have the same... can do the same
credentials, everything.
They have the same credentials. They can do the same work. They are good at whatever they're doing. One looks the way he wants to look. The other one looks... these people are competing for a position in your company. Who will you go for?
Now you can divide that into two scenarios. If it was this guy versus another dreaded guy...
No. I'm just saying. No, I'm not saying this guy. I'm just saying the guy who looks... maybe dreads, maybe he looks like you.
So I'm dividing it into two scenarios.
Okay.
Versus another guy with dreads who are kept. It's the guy with dreads who are kept who gets the job. If it's the guy with dreads who are kept versus a person now who's sharp like you, it's afro, sharp, lakini he's not wearing shorts. He's
a suit. Shorts,
Wearing, me, my biggest issue is shorts.
The problem with you, you're going to a different... Now you see your problem is shorts. Sorry. The guy's problem is...
it's his hair. So he goes, it's clean, you're clean, the another person is clean but with rasters. Then I feel... It just really depends on the demeanor, on the vibe I get towards you, doesn't it? It means, do I feel this one is more ambitious or this one is more ambitious?
But now you see, you'll start looking for something that...
for minute details.
Yeah.
Which proves the point that maybe this problem are is not jobs.
No. I've given you a scenario where you have these people, like they have the same qualifications. They have almost everything.
4.0 GPO. GPA, like you say.
All those
4.0
things.
4.0 GPO, you want to go
same,
to Tao.
One has dreads or has whatever. He looks the way he wants to look. The other one is more traditional. Has a suit, has a tie.
Clean shave.
Clean shave.
as a hypocrite.
As an employer.
The first impressions.
Yeah. As a hypocrite, yes, the first impression would be the guy with the suit.
Mm.
But if he's with a suit and with dreads, it makes no difference to me. That's what I'm trying to say.
The thing is, when you meet someone who looks, quote unquote, the traditional employable or whatever, when you look at him, like, he took his time to comb his hair, to iron his suit, whatever. Mm. Like, this guy has attention to detail and all these things. There's a message that is communicated by
100%.
That. Even though it's old fashioned.
It's called effort.
Yes, because I'm not into that. Mm. I'm not into the traditional way, because where I used to work, you guys know, I used to shave my hair in a particular way, put some styles in my hair.
Mm-hmm.
Not every employer will be for that.
Mm.
But I'm like, if someone takes his time to make sure that he looks good, it's like, oh, this person cares.
Then we are both agreeing
that
I'm saying the guy needed to look better.
Mm.
The guy with dreads.
Yes.
He needed to sort out his demeanor.
Look. Yes.
He needed to clean his dreads.
Mm.
Had he come with a cleaner look, no dreads, just a cleaner look, it shouldn't be a problem.
That's for you though.
Opinion. The only so now, then it now asks, what's the definition of a clean look? Mm. What's a clean look?
Traditional look.
A clean look now means no beard. It means shirts all the time. For example, it means ties. Ties don't exist anymore. No one wears ties anymore.
Do you know? I was watching some video, and this guy made this distinction that every American president or every industry leader in recent times has had a clean shave. Clean shave, that is not even beards.
It's not in recent times. It's American. It's almost. It's like two or three in history who've had beards.
Yes. So there's something about that clean look that makes you look distinguished, makes you look, I don't know, more powerful, more trustworthy.
If you put your political hat on, it signifies effort. That this is a person of discipline. Because if you have the clean shave, it means every morning when you wake up, you shave that thing.
So you're agreeing that looking good, looking traditional.
No, it just depends on what you define. I'm saying these things of no beard, no dreads, that is dying. It's almost dead.
But it's not dead.
That's my opinion.
So they are right to criticize it.
They are not right to criticize it. They are dying. They are
the last kicks of a dying horse.
Exactly.
Mm.
It's passing. It is. Because many people are like that now. You can't tell. Ask many employers how hard it is for them to tell guys dress code. In fact, even the top banks no longer say tie. They just say look presentable, look official. That's all you require.
Mm.
Now, if so, he needs to look presentable, not with a suit and tie and no rasters. Wear the dreads, clean the beard, clean your face. And then put on a nice suit and you'll be okay.
But isn't that okay? Before you finish this conversation, don't you think it's also upon us? Because if you go to those old traditional people, they will give you the advice that worked for them. So for him, when he was looking for a job, he had to look a particular way, right? So for him, it's like, if you want to get a job, you have to go with a clean shave, you have to wear a suit so that you can get a job. Now for you, if you have to go and talk to young people, you're like, my guy, as long as you keep your hair neat and this and that, you're good to go. So you can't castigate him for giving people the advice that worked for him, because they say if you have a hammer, then every problem to you is a nail. So that's the only advice he can give, because that's what worked for him.
But overall, all I was telling Kish and telling you as well is pastors telling you that rasters are the enemy. I believe that's nonsense. That is my personal opinion. I believe people are made to make, people have been invented by God to make choices.
So
choices are made. That is not a sin to wear dreadlocks.
Here's a question for you. If you got your dream job, earning the dream amount of money you want, but then the employer told you, GK, shave those dreads and you have this job, and even have tenure.
So the funny thing is, I think we had this conversation a few years ago where I said in a heartbeat, 10 seconds, I will cut them off. I'm not attached. However, now I'm a bit attached. I would ask questions. But if he said that's the final offer, Baba, please cut. No question. Do you want it shaved?
So you won't question him?
0.5. No, I'll first ask. We talk.
Why not turn down the job?
This is the final. Money. That's the answer.
So you'll money, dump your Africanness and your Pan-Africanism for money.
You see, my dream job would be talking about Pan-Africanness and Africanism. So may I be perfect. I'll cut my hair and talk about it. Jambo mwenza. Ujama.
Okay. Talking of Africanness, Pan-Africanism, and all those things, In the news, there was something that happened recently. Mm. This shop that popped up, and it has been the talk of town for like the past month or so.
China Square.
I think it's somewhere along Thika Road, Unicity Mall. Yeah.
I really wish I went there before it closed.
It was only open for like 3 weeks, isn't it?
And he said he made like 10 million shillings.
Like 20.
He said he made 20 million.
Like 20 million. They made like
10 million a week or something.
Yes, like 10 million a week. So, as soon as it popped up, it was closed. Because there were protests, people from Kamukunji, Nyamakema, they're saying these guys, it's unfair competition. We can't even sell our wares because now everyone has gone to that place because their prices are so cheap. Mm-hmm. And the government closed those people closed, will reevaluate their whatever. And now, as we talk right now, it's closed indefinitely. Mm. So before even go further and give my opinion, what's your opinion on the China Square thing? Do you think they were wrong? Mm-hmm. People in Yamakima were wrong to protest them? Should they just continue their business or remain closed?
My opinion is exactly what you said towards the end of the last topic, where you said the phrase, the last kicks.
A dying horse.
Mm. Unfortunately, and this may not make me very popular, this whole Nyamakima nonsense, to me, it honestly, is going to happen. It's going to happen. Mm. Because right now, businessmen, it's not just Nyamakima. Have you heard of Think Twice? Think Twice is in Muranga, Thika. Mm. It's in Thika, and it's in another place where Mzungu has got warehouse. He's gone in Mtumba, and he sells it at a cheaper price than you get from Mtumba.
Yeah.
So he's saying 50 bob, 350. So now someone who is doing the work of going to Mtush and making their margin, he's realized the problem is this, that these traders are making their income by creating astronomical margins that seem affordable. Mm. So if you go to China and you're buying, I use the example of a Mwiko at 5 cents, and you come and you sell it at 20 shillings or 50 shillings, you have... To a normal buyer, when they go to Naivas, it's, oh my goodness, it's so expensive. But you go to this guy, 50 bob, you do it. Mm. But that guy has made 10 times
more
for that thing. Mm. So the China guy, the China Square guy, just realized, if I drop the prices, if I purchase these items and I drop the prices because I have financial capital, it's a business, I'm going to pour money in, buy these things, store them and sell them at a markup of 2 instead of a markup of 10. Mm. It's going to happen. Remove this China Square guy, another guy will come and do it. It'll just be called karaoke. That's my opinion. And then they won't complain as much. Me, I believe this is politics. It's a politician looking for a way to rile up people, looking for a way to be popular amongst his people. And unfortunately, his people, a lot of them are traders.
Okay.
So how do you make traders happy? Make noise about someone who's taking away business. Because as Kikuyus, as one of them, we believe a business. You take away our business, you're taking away our life. So if someone is taking away business, that is the enemy. So this China guy, why is he making 10 million a week when me, I'm making zero? Or I'm making 500? He's just made it a business. He's come with his money. He's bought items at a big scale and is selling them at a huge scale. And he's done it. So okay. I think... This China Square is going to become Karaoke Square at some point. If China Square is dropped, someone else will do it, in my opinion.
Okay. Kish.
I don't agree with closing down China
at all,
Square.
Yeah.
But I also feel I empathize with the guys from
Nyamakima.
Mm. But I don't think government should close down business, because that's how business works. Because in business, things correct themselves. Mm. It's usually demand and supply. Mm. And things usually correct themselves. If you're selling lower than the price you're supposed to be selling, you'll eventually run
someone
out
will
of
do
business.
It. What you Uber get. Did to taxi
so
drivers.
I don't think the government should have just let it run and see, because in business, things just happen. Like, things just correct themselves. If he was making, he wasn't making any profit, and he was just selling his goods super low, he'll be out of business after some time.
Yeah.
Then the guys from Kamukunji or
Nyamakima
should have gone to this guy and asked him, hey, you guy, where are you getting your
supply?
Because I think it should be fair. The only thing government should do is make sure that this guy is bringing these things legally. He's paying his tax. He's going through the same process that these Kenyan people are going through. But not to close
He's just no, made
the government wasn't involved. I think they decided to close. It's the proprietor.
It's because the deputy president is talking about this guy.
Yeah, the CS.
The CS is talking about this guy. Mm. So it's pressure from the government.
We decided this is not worth it. But honestly, you look at the ripple effect, for example, if you read, there's an article, I think it's by The Standard, that talks of a dying restaurant that was there, China Square is, that got revived because China Square...
Or pushed traffic, yeah.
Brought traffic.
Yeah.
So already an area will start to grow. People, that's the thing that happens. When you bring business and businesses grow, that happens. The only problem you should... Honestly, Kish is completely correct.
Mm.
That's business. Unfortunately... It'll correct itself. If this guy wasn't making money, businessmen are very ruthless. They'd be out of the market in a heartbeat.
It's not doing it. If we gave it some time, the Nyamakima guys could have seen that this guy is making money by selling them at a lower prices, or maybe reduce their prices too.
Yeah.
Also made the same profit he's making than sell in bulk.
Now, unlike the two of you, I happen to think that the whole situation was unfair to the local trader, and the government has responsibility of protecting their own.
Why was it unfair?
I'm getting to that. As government, you have to make sure that your own is protected before you protect the interest of the visitor. Let me not say Twingine. It's unfair because these goods, they get them from China. I get them from China, you get them from China, but you're a Chinese guy. So there's an advantage that you have that I don't. It might be perceived, but it's an advantage that you have that I don't. Now, for both of us to go there to the manufacturer or supplier together, get the things, I bring them here, and then you also sell. Sorry, I believe the China Square thing should have been a wholesale undertaking.
So they sell to the traders.
At least at that point, I kind of agree with it. So you tell the traders, instead of going to China to get your things, we'll bring them here. You get them from us. Then you can now sell to the local Monainchi. But not for them to go buy them. Come here, sell wholesale and retail in Kenya and make those amounts of money. Because right now what happens is a big chunk of whatever they were getting also goes out. Goes back to China. That's the business that they were doing. So when it comes to competition, it's really, really unfair that the local businessman goes to China, buys those things, comes here, then still has to compete with the manufacturer or wholesaler. So it's not fair.
So Moas, this is my question to you.
Yeah.
We remove the Chinaman.
Okay.
We put Moas.
Yes.
Moas, you've developed a business plan. You've developed and you've realized I can undercut traders in Nyamakima.
Okay.
And undercut them. Because that's what it is. I've seen a gap, I can make it. And you have the capital. So you go and buy at the same price that this China guy is buying.
Yes.
You bring them here, create Moas Square. Is there a problem there?
If it's purely owned and run by a Kenyan.
You've done it all yourself.
No.
Is there a problem?
No.
So your whole issue is just one.
Yes.
That it's
foreigner.
It's a Chinese. It's a foreigner.
Yes.
Had you removed the foreigner, the traders would still be, by your logic, disenfranchised if Moas was doing it. That's the thing.
Yes,
so
and no.
So, the businessman is getting richer.
Yes.
But in this hustler economy where we're trying to help the hustler, the hustler is not getting any better. He's still losing out to Moas. So that's my issue. If you're doing it, you have to find a way for traders to drop their costs of production and purchasing so that they can sell at a competitive price. If they can't sell at a competitive price, China, okay, yes, therefore, you made a very good point about all that money is going to China. But remove China. Someone else will take that opportunity.
It's the same thing that happened with the Safaricom and Airtel. I think it was then called a different name. When Safaricom sold something like that, when Safaricom used to like charge 7 bob per minute, then this Celtel comes and say, oh, we can definitely charge like 4 bob or 3 bob and still make profit. You see, then they had to force Safaricom to bring their prices also down because they were making, the margin was too high on the Safaricom side. So I think that's business. In business, you are all here to make profits.
Yes.
Even the Nyamakima guys are all here to make profits. But if you can sacrifice a bit of your profit and get bulk sales.
You can consolidate somehow. Yeah.
So I think that's what this guy was doing.
The thing is, we are assuming
to get
Is he charged the same export levy, import levy? Yes. That's the thing. See, the issue is, I, as a Kenyan trader, I go to China, I find a contract, and I purchase these items. I pay export and import, whatever, all those duties, and I bring it, and then I have to sell it at a markup. But because I know the price of the product in Kenya, I increase my markup. Now, Chinaman is saying,
because maybe there's nobody selling, or there's nobody who has gone to China.
Yeah, to do this.
To have goods.
So this guy is just saying, I'll pay my import duties, I'll pay all my tax excise, I'll do everything. All I'm doing is undercutting, because I feel with my strength in my wallet, I can take a hit of a few weeks and make huge profits. That's what he's done. He's just said, I can take the hit.
So we are assuming that. We are assuming that when a trader from Nyamakema comes and sells his things, it's at a markup that is super crazy compared to this foreigner, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, part of that is also the purchasing, because we are thinking that when they go there, they buy something at 10 bob and they come and sell it at 100, and then this Chinaman will also buy the same thing at 10 shillings. I happen to think that's not the case.
It's an assumption also.
You're working on that assumption, but then there's this assumption that because you are not a foreigner in that country, they get things cheaper when they go to buy things there.
I think the only way that prices would be dropped is, in my opinion, is based on quantity. For example, rice in Mwea. Now, if you want to buy a kg of rice in Mwea, it's 170 shillings. I know that intimately.
Okay.
It's 170 shillings for the top quality rice. Now, if you tell them I'm buying 1 kg, they'll sell it to you at 170 shillings.
Yes.
If you tell them I'm buying 100 kgs, they'll probably sell it to you at 140 shillings.
Okay.
Because of the margin.
And what are the chances of the guy selling you rice for 170 comes back and sell it at the same price?
Yeah.
Where he's selling to to the wholesalers, he'll come back to the same market and sell at a cheaper price.
A different price. He said the price is 170.
Like if I'm a producer of goods, I'm selling to wholesalers at a cheaper price. I'm selling, like, I'm a producer of rice.
Yes.
I'm selling for 170 kg to wholesalers. To wholesalers is?
It's 170.
Let's say 170.
Yeah.
Yes. Then the wholesalers come to the market and sell it at 200 maybe.
Yes.
What are the chances? What are the chances that the producer also has goods that he's bringing to the market, not to the wholesale. He sells to the wholesalers, but still brings his goods to the market.
Is that wrong?
Is that wrong? And sell it at 170.
So he says, I'll sell to you at 170.
I get the scenario you're using. Is it wrong?
Yes and no.
And I understand why he would sell it cheaper. Because right now, for me, I come to Mwea, I buy that rice. I have to factor in transport, I have to factor in profit, I have to factor in licenses, rent and all that, where I put the rice. But you come with your pickup, with the rice at the back of the pickup, you just set it up by the roadside.
No, he's coming to the market. He's also doing the transport.
I'll use this example just for a second. Because I've seen this happening. People just come with their pickups, they just open a gunia there and they just sell by the roadside. Once they're done, they pack and go. There's even a market next to, what is it called, this place, this golf place, Windsor. People just come with their garis, they sell their things, in the evening they go. So the business person has to sell it a bit higher because of all the things that they have to get, licenses, rent and everything. Some of these traders, they don't have to do that because they just come, there's this pop-up market where they do their selling quickly, they pack and they go.
I think you're changing the scenario. The one I gave you was, this guy is not going anywhere. He's coming back to where the people he's selling to come. So he's realized that these people are making 30 shillings extra. Then he says, why are these people making 30 shillings extra? We can make 10 shillings extra. So instead of selling it 200, let's sell it at
180 or 185.
Then he brings it to the same market where he sold these wholesalers.
He
also has transport, he also has to buy permit to get permits to trade in the market. He does the same thing. Is it wrong?
He's just realized, I can undercut you. It's all the business of undercutting.
It's both right and it's wrong. From a consumer point of view, it's right because I want to buy the cheapest. Mm-hmm. But from this business perspective, mm-hmm. it's wrong because you're undercutting your customer. You're selling him the commodity, so you're getting that money, mm-hmm. and then going to the market and selling again, locking him out, leaving him with all the produce. It's wrong. It's ethically wrong if you think about it. Mm-hmm. But from a consumer point of view, it's perfect for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's perfect for us as consumers.
No. So in the government, there's a body that deals with competition.
Yes.
You can't have unfair competition.
But that wasn't unfair because you're also assuming that this Chinese guy, is getting goods for free in China.
He's not. I mean, you're being extreme. I'm not saying for free.
No, but
you're saying that's an assumption you're making. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's buying it the same price.
No, that's an assumption. Yeah, also. What I'm saying is.
So the government should let it play out by itself.
No.
You
have to protect. Protecting local industries.
You protect. It's not a local industry. This guy still gets the goods.
No, it's cottage industry. That's an industry. True,
but right we've now, also accepted that foreigners can come and trade in Kenya. And they have to apply for licenses.
And there are rules
have to follow. Yeah, and so if you did follow all those rules.
No, that's what you need to answer. Because recently, I think there's a body that went there and found that some of the things they were selling were counterfeit. Now, I don't understand why it took them that long to get to that point.
I think that we can't talk about.
We don't know. But all I'm saying is,
if it's a government body that said that, so they went and did their tests. What I'm saying is, people can do businesses. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But there has to be fair competition. You can't sell me, the rice example. Mm-hmm. You can't sell me 100 bags of rice at that 170 shillings, then come to the market and the pricing, you put your price 20 shillings cheaper. So meaning, I'll keep my 100 bags of rice and everyone else will run to your shop to buy from you. Mm-hmm. You've put me at a place where I can't make profit and I can't even sell what I have.
You can make profit, but you can make profit, but you just have to sacrifice.
Yes, but now
because you are making higher margins. Let's say you are making like double the profit. Mm-hmm. So he's just telling you no, you are. What's the term?
You can cut the price. Basically.
Yeah, you can cut the price.
Yeah.
No, that's unfair.
And still make profit.
That's unfair.
All my opinion on this matter is Nyama Kima, Kamkunji, they've given us incredible things. Mm. Many of us, from rich to poor, have purchased items from those places based on their cost and their quality. Mm. However, those are industries that are going to suffer. That's my personal opinion. Mm. Those are industries that can die. That's my issue.
For me,
so protect yourself because someone else is going to come and do the same thing.
For me, the Chinaman is right to do business in Kenya, but there has to be rules. You can't be competing with Kenyans in those two small nini. Mm. Come and sell your cars, come and do your things in wholesale, but don't go to retail. There's a thing where some Chinamen were doing hawking, and people protested that you can't come and do that small business up if you. That's for the local people. Mm. Sell in bulk, let us do our individual. To business here and there. Okay. Other than that, I'm all for open free markets, but there has to be regulations.
Okay.
What I feel, if it was to be regulated, it should have started when this guy was setting a shop. That was the regulation that needed to be happen. Like, if we gave this guy the permit, everything we gave him, like we said, it's okay. Now, once he started, now it's not okay. Because we knew this guy is Chinese, he's coming from China, and he wanted to do this business, and he started doing this business, and we're okay with it. Now that we've realized that his prices are better compared to Kenyan.
I'm with you on that one. They should have done better before.
Yeah, before. Not let it start, then now realize that, oh.
Mm. Yeah, my final shot on it is, I don't know if you've heard the term dog whistling. Mm. The politicization of this issue seems to me like dog whistling.
Yeah.
Like they're creating, he's blowing a tune to attach to a certain group of people. And he wants to politicize that issue. So he's using, in my opinion, the politicians.
Okay.
They are like three. They're using Nyama Kima and this issue as a way to dog whistle to their electorate.
For political mileage.
It's political mileage. He's seeing, okay, this is an issue. It's an easy one. It's easy to say blame China. It's very easy because that's already the fashion, blame China. But what's the credible solution to this? The issue is, Ken Kamkunji, Ken Nyamakima continue trading the way they are right now. Mm. And I am of the belief that they can for 5 years, but unfortunately that industry is going to suffer. Mm. Because young people are looking towards making things more efficient. They're going to cut, they're going to undercut them. The next person will be called Karanja, Karaoke, Karevi.
He's going to talk to the Chinaman and ask him where he is.
By the way, if I find that China guy, I'll ask him, how do you do it? I'll even tell him, make me your face. Call it Karevi Square, but I'm giving you 50% of the profit.
Okay, now knowing your history, we know you you can do that.
Mm-hmm. I can do it.
So much of being Pan-African and whatever. And you're here advocating for.
I've always admitted me, I'm a hypocrite. Yeah. I don't hide it. I think all humans are. Mm. Anyways, may I add one final question before you guys cut me off and kick me to go in my journey home?
Yeah.
And it's with regards to the future of work. Mm. The other day, for the first time, and I know I'm behind schedule,
okay,
I opened a ChatGPT account.
Mm.
And I used it because there was an assignment I was given and I was too lazy.
Okay.
So I just wrote my assignment and the thing gave me everything. Everything.
Mm.
Like, I could never have produced that quality of work. Never.
Mm.
It's because it was regards to the law. So then I was like, hey, okay, well, it made me think, okay, what about now paralegals, interns, associates, like all the people who are not very crucial to bringing in money into an organization, but their use is in labor, hard work.
Mm.
Are they going to are they going to exist? Like, how are interns going to get work in the future?
Mm.
Because why do you get what do you use as an excuse to get an intern? To do the busy work, work you don't want to do. You give the intern, then they grow, and then you take them for meetings and all that thing. But before that, that's what they do.
Mm.
So now if this AI is doing everything, it made me think, what's the future of our work? So I had one question. Where do you think work is going for most people, especially those who are not at the highest level of skill?
Mm-hmm.
And number two, if government was to come today and say, you know what? And this is a thing. There's a book called Utopia for Realists. People should read it. And the 4-day work week. And said, you know what? Work is no longer a need.
Mm.
It is now a want.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is give you guys a base salary of 100,000. And your medical is covered. Basically, you can live life very easily.
Mm.
I give you everyone a base salary. Do you still see the value in work? So question one, where is work going? Question two, if work was not necessary anymore, do you still think you'll work?
Mm, I think with technology, we develop different we also evolve to different
needs.
How we do our stuff, like how we generate our income.
Mm-hmm.
I think technology usually just brings more and more ways to get jobs or more jobs.
Mm.
As much as they won't be the traditional work per se, I think we'll still have
value.
Different avenues of making money.
But isn't it all going to high skill? You have to all get high skill if you want to work really now.
Mm-hmm.
A small level coder in a few years will be obsolete. You have to be a highly skilled coder, won't it be?
True, but technology will drive you to be high skilled coder. Mm. That's what I think.
Okay.
It's I think it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because it's helping us do things much more efficient, much more faster.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need just to know how to use it to our advantage.
So you still see value in work even if there's no value?
Yeah. It'll still work.
No, it won't work.
It depends on what you see as work.
Mm-hmm. Personally, technology is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing because there's some people, definitely there are industries right now that don't need human beings to work in those industries.
Mm-hmm.
I saw very recently that even Domino's, they're the biggest pizza chain in the world.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
They overtook Pizza Hut a while back.
Mm-hmm.
They have robots, even making pizzas, the dough, nini.
Amazon was going to try.
And it's going to go there because there are some jobs that are very repetitive and they don't even need high skills.
They just need instruction on the robot.
You just put, do this and this and do it, and they do it effectively and efficiently.
And they extract mistakes.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some industries where robots can't work.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the legal field.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be the there's some logic, there's some things you have to think through that, like, yeah, he did it, but, you know, like...
Exactly, but if you said, for example, you wrote on a ChatGPT, make an argument based on Brown's Supreme Court, whatever, on this.
Okay.
And it writes for you an argument. So now, normally, and I'm not a lawyer, so you'll give me explanations.
Yeah.
The high-level lawyer uses a trackable level of researchers. So he has his associate, then the associate has researchers who do the research, compile it, and then now he is just finalizing the argument. So he says, go read on this and give me the key points. Then you now bring it up.
Yes.
If ChatGPT can do that, then isn't it just the big lawyer who's needed, not all his work?
For the research.
For anything.
Yes. Yes, yeah, I get that.
That's what I'm saying. Because so even in the legal field, the amount of lawyers who are necessary will be halved, isn't it?
It's true, because like paralegals, their main thing is research.
Research.
It's research, so you get that and you put it there. But what I'm saying is, technology isn't all good, isn't all bad. The future of work is technology, whether you want to admit it or not. Technology is going to be a big part of work in the future. Most people will lose their jobs, like you're saying, with ChatGPT. But at some point, there has to be regulation, because like when you get output from that ChatGPT, I think this is a way you can tell. I don't know right now if there's a way you can tell, like, this, there's no human touch in this, it's too perfect or whatever. So something will come up where either that thing is blocked or whatever, because cheating right now, school projects, you can't even do school projects because you just put it there, like you said, you're too lazy to do work you were given. Unless that happens, I don't know, quality of work will be affected, really.
Have you talked to like a high level businessman before? Them, they love ChatGPT because business plans and all these follow the same elements. So if you say, create for me a business plan,
it does it for you.
It does it for you. Then all you do is make small alterations based on your issue.
Well, maybe it's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. You may feel it's a good thing. We'll just have to get creative, because as human beings, we've gotten creative before. We just need to know, get other sources of income or get other jobs that technology will help you. Because when the phone came, we all knew that
phone books are going out.
Everything will. But we reinvented ourselves. We got new ideas. We used this phone that made other people go out of work to make people
go into work.
Okay. But you know, you say that, and I'm like, at some point there will be no work for anyone. Because back in the day, people used to believe that bricklayers or masons, that work will never go out of. You need human beings to do that. But we've seen 3D printed homes, meaning that now bricklayers are no longer necessary, so to speak. You look at script writers, even for movies. ChatGPT will write a script for you. I saw a guy prepare a script for a YouTube. He was doing an experiment for YouTube channel, writing a script, and he wrote a script and everything. So now script writers are going out of work. There's now deep fakes. You can even use a deep fake to do some other thing. At some point, we keep saying, get something else to do. There'll be nothing left for people to do.
And that's where you get to the point where
there'll still be something left, because you'll need this person prompting. As much as this group of people may lose their jobs, we'll need these people doing the 3D printing. You might lose jobs in the other side, but gained some on the other side.
Kish, what we're saying is, and I think someone, I can't remember who said it, is the world is transitioning from a stage in which people need work to a stage in which to work is a want, it won't be a need, because everyone works right now is to survive. You remove that element, because all this tech is making so much money, you're getting comfortable. There won't be, as in the amount of high skilled people to work for that script writer or for whatever are much fewer than right now. Do you know how many people these guys go through to get a perfect script out? You have researchers, you have people who work on, you know, who do things. Now you have Grammarly that says, you know, correction of things, just corrects for you.
Just by the premium and does everything for you.
It does everything. It tells you, this is not correct, you know, you could probably use a different way.
It even tells you the tone. You can the tone you want to use.
Now you change industries. If you are in that industry, you move. Because we've also had people who've lost jobs and become influencers per se. Mm. It's a job. You're using somehow technology or
yes, we're gonna
invention.
See many more
so you're seeing people moving away from these bricklaying things mm-hmm. to come back to coming back to another.
But there won't be enough work in those ones.
That's what I'm saying. In like maybe 200 years mm. from now.
When we're long dead. Mm.
Yes, work will look so different and work will be... For example, right now, an industry that employs or a company that employs 200 people mm. may only need 10. Mm. So 190, mm-hmm. they have no go and get something else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There can be an oversaturation of something. Even this influencer you're saying, mm-hmm. at some point, you'll have so many influencers that they now become redundant.
Yeah. True, but something else will come up. I believe we'll still reinvent ourselves because mm-hmm. as much as we lose people from a different sector or people, jobs won't be available for that mm-hmm. sector, we'll still create another avenue to make money.
Okay, now that's now
using technology.
Where my second question came in, which you all have not yet answered, which is now that technology reaches that point where the need for workers. Mm. Already we know all the top techs are actually sacking people. They're not making money anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is going to expedite. You know, apparently they've been saying the research and the ability for bots to do the work is already there. The problem is the society is not there. Mm. So they've not released them. Mm. But hey, mess with people and their profits. Mm. You'll see them now do it. Mm. So these robots come. But society is not crumbling. Mm. There's money. So there's a flow of money. Mm. So does the need, we've gone from need to want. So now I'm saying, well, now it is want. Mm. Let's say we're alive during that time.
Okay.
Would you guys want to work?
So I have everything I need.
You have everything you need.
So now it's a question of
healthcare, food, shelter.
Yes.
That's all covered.
My basic needs are covered.
And of course you get your stipend, your basic needs and your, it's like the Scandinavian countries, they're getting there. Mm. They have their basic needs, education, and
healthcare,
and they have money. Mm. When it gets there, are you gonna work?
Okay, so the simple answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
It's no, because personally, the only reason I work is to get money to be able to sustain myself. That's the only reason I work. I don't enjoy working.
Mm-hmm.
Working is not something I look forward to. It's just that, hey, I need to pay rent, so I need to go get my butt off the house and go do something. But I would also need to do something to keep myself occupied.
So it's more passion projects, isn't it?
Yes.
So now you'll do, for example, you can do Nairobians every day.
Yes, yes. That would be the work I would do. I'd just go.
Why will you assume that if it's a passion project, it won't be work? Let's say you're making your income from Nairobians.
Yes.
But this is also your what passion. You love.
Mm.
This is work for you.
Mm.
So if you get this stipend, you're living comfortable, will you still want to do this thing that you love because it's work?
So how I understood Karedi's question was, if I was to sit in my house, do nothing, I would get that money. So is that what
you're saying? It doesn't matter. Whatever money, happens, you're getting that money.
Yes.
Getting that money.
So it means I'm not earning from anything.
Your
I'm
needs
just
are taken care of.
Yes. So now,
but your means are taken care of. You can earn, but your means are taken care of. But Nairobians was your work.
Mm. Yes.
So you can earn, but you just don't have to.
That's yes.
You don't have to do it to survive. So you can work here at Nairobians, and Nairobians is paying you.
Yes.
It's fine. But it doesn't, as in,
this is what you consider work.
If you don't feel like working for Nairobians, you don't.
Would you still be working?
So would you still work? So you, I think what you've basically said is you'd focus more on things that make you happy.
I would even work.
I think your mentality is in
9 to 5
yes. or being employed by somebody,
yes.
working under somebody.
Yes. Well, back in 90s.
Oh, okay.
No, that's work. Honestly, right now, if you ask someone, are you working?
Mm.
They look at 9 to 5 type of thing. Most people.
Honestly, for me, work is dependent
on... How about people in business? Do you think there are more people in business than...
It's
business is even worse because you're there. It's not even 9 to 5. Mm. It's even longer. Mm. So now for me, Nairobians, for example, if I can come in and put in 2 hours and then leave, or 3-4 hours, For me, it's work, but it's not work. For me, my mind is still working.
But if you're earning from it and this is your business,
it's your job. It's your job.
This is your business. Maybe for right now, you might say you're putting in 2 hours. Mm. But if this is the only thing you are doing, mm-hmm. you'll need to put more effort into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this was your work. You're passionate about this thing, mm-hmm. but you still put in
you
the hours.
You guys have just confused me, Kabisa. You
work from 9 to 5,
mm-hmm. okay.
but it's still your passion. It's your project, mm-hmm. something you started, you feel good about it.
Uh-huh.
We still consider it work. Will you still be doing it if you have other sources of...
So would you still work? It doesn't matter what it is.
Uh-huh.
So there's the Nairobi... That's what I was saying. It sounds like what you're saying is you'll do things that you make you happy.
Mm.
For example, let's say Nairobians is not giving you enough money.
Okay.
But you really love doing Nairobians.
Mm.
If your basics are covered,
mm.
You're saying... You wouldn't not work,
mm-hmm.
you just keep doing Nairobians, isn't it?
Let me put it this way.
Uh-huh.
If I didn't have to work,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't work at
mm-hmm.
all. At all.
Mm-hmm.
But from time to time,
mm-hmm.
I would do things
mm-hmm.
to just occupy my time. Does that even make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
So, mm-hmm. like, for example, right now, if Nairobians is my work, it means I have to be here doing it maybe daily or once a week or
mm-hmm.
twice or whatever. But if I didn't have to, maybe the frequency would even change.
Mm.
I would leave, go somewhere, do whatever I want to do, chill, lay on the beach, come here after a month, I'm like, let me do an episode.
Mm.
Because I want to,
yeah.
not because I need to.
Exactly.
Right now I'm doing this because I need to.
Mm.
But if I had all my needs taken care of, I would do it when I want to.
Mm.
That's different.
For me, I think I'd still work. I'd look for something I'm passionate about and still work. Because I believe having a routine or like setting some kind of goals towards something usually keeps you in check and builds like somehow some sort of character, some sort of who you are as a person defines.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. That's my answer.
Mm.
I'd probably do that thing because my work is what I love doing is... Even though I don't like it, I don't like people, but I love people. I don't know if you get it.
Mm.
So I like being there for people, going for family things, going for events, working in those things. But I really hate being constrained to work based on my survival. I really dislike it. So I don't think I'd work, in my opinion. I'd just enjoy life.
We were not created to work.
Life is too short.
We were created
I think work came as a need.
No, as a punishment. If you believe in creation theory, and I'm calling it creation theory,
mm-hmm.
it's because Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they were told, you know what, as a form of punishment, you will toil the land for your daily bread. So
they were already taking care of the animals and the trees. And
But that doesn't work.
It was
a different type of work.
It's a work.
No, they're not taking care of the animals. They were told, you give the animals their names,
mm-hmm.
and then enjoy. When you give the animals names every day, see, just woke up one day, you are a rhino, elephant, okay, that's good. Let me go eat, chill, relax, enjoy. They were told to enjoy the bountiful and plentiful of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they disobeyed God, they were told, now for you to eat, you will toil this land now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a punishment.
So it became from a want to a need.
To a need now. Because now, Adam would wake up in the morning, he's like, today, let me go and do some pruning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna lose tomorrow. It was upon him. That's what I think.
Mm.
But then when he now disobeyed God, it had now to do it for him to eat. That's why like go take care of the sheep, go plant mahindi and bosho and those other things. That's just for the creation part of it.
May believe you still need to work.
Why?
Depends. It just depends. Because if I'm not looking at it as an being employed or 9 to 5 stuff.
Hmm.
You still need to work, like you still need to find something you're passionate about and work towards. Like if let's say I'm a builder, I want to build, like I get joy from building a house, I get joy from drawing architectural stuff. People, some might not consider that as work, but to me it's work. I might enjoy doing a podcast, like just sitting here talking to people and giving out views on stuff. You might not view it as work, but I think to me it is work.
It is work.
How about
so
this?
Me, I feel like people should work.
I think I agree with Kish wins me over.
Okay, let's pause it for a second. Take it back to childhood, because right now we're assuming you are told stop working now. When you know you're an architect, when you know you're a mason, all those things. When you're a child, you don't know anything.
True.
Most people go to school and choose a career because they're told architect, there's good money in that one, there's fulfillment or whatever. Mm-hmm. When you're a child, you don't know anything. So you mm-hmm. grow up knowing you have everything. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go study engineering or anything, and mm-hmm. you have plenty. Mm-hmm. So would you still work? Would you still work towards being an engineer, an architect, when you don't know?
If you don't know something, developing, you'll still find something. Even though billionaires' kids, they usually have they have all the passion money projects, they want, but they have foundations. They're passionate about something. You
I get mm-hmm.
not for money per se, mm-hmm. but it's something
doing something.
Doing something.
We'd like to thank you, GK, for gracing us with your presence.
Yeah, pleasure.
And for the discussion. Hopefully, you'll come again. Mm-hmm. We'll do this another time.
Mm. It'll bring up the views. It'll up the views, kidogo.
Hopefully that happens.
Let's hope so.
Anyway, sisi manga, utasema thank you. Hope to join for another episode of the Nairobian Podcast. Like, comment, share, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Kisha tuambie kuhusu mambo ya schedule yetu.
Kila weno, 3 p.m.
3 p.m. Mm-hmm. So then, on our socials, you can interact with us, tell us what your thoughts on the episode and whatever, yeah? Tukimalizia, tuambie Nairobian Podcast. We talk as we can.
Talk as you want to.
See ya, man. Bye. Yeah.